Markov of Market Street. This is BillPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the southwest corner of San Francisco's frisky Tenderloin District. Today is Thursday, the 2nd of February, 2017. On this date, in 1653, the city of New Amsterdam is incorporated. It's renamed New York City in 1665, just 12 years later after being won by England in the Second Anglo-Dutch War. 1848, first ship with Chinese immigrants arrives in San Francisco. 1887, in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, the first Groundhog Day is observed. In 1922, Ulysses by James Joyce is published on the author's 40th birthday. 1943, the Red Army emerges victorious, if you can call it that, from the Battle of Stalingrad. The last German troops remaining in the city surrender. It's the most destructive battle in the most destructive war in human history. 1982, the government of Syria attacks the town of Hama, killing thousands after a Muslim Brotherhood uprising. 1989, the last Soviet armored column leaves Kabul as Soviet forces pull out of the country after more than 9 years of war. More than 100,000 Soviet soldiers are pulled out during the withdrawal that takes nearly a year. 1990, 1 year later, South African President F.W. de Klerk lifts the 30-year ban on the African National Congress, allowing them to participate in the country's political process. He also announces plans to release Nelson Mandela from prison. Philip Seymour Hoffman died 3 years ago today. Birthdays are James Joyce, as mentioned, and Ayn Rand. Today is World Wetlands Day. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com, tblpod.com, or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Just a few hours ago, the European Parliament passed visa-free travel to Georgia. 553 votes in favor, 66 against, 28 abstentions. Next is the European Council meeting of foreign ministers, but that's unlikely to be a problem. Visa-free travel will probably come into force in about 2 months. It'll allow Georgians visa-free travel to the Schengen zone for 90 consecutive days within any 180-day period. OC Media, a new initiative launched by people connected with the Chaihana, reported that the former bishop of Borjomi, Serafime Jojua, has been accused of making sexual advances to a 15-year-old girl. Serafime left the diocese in April for reasons that were neither explained by himself or the patriarch. Three Georgian priests based in Germany released information about the accusations made by the girl after being told that Serafime was being transferred there. One of those priests, Tomas Lomidze, said he will never serve under Serafime. The case has split parishioners and clergy in Borjomi, with supporters of Serafime holding a demonstration on the 21st of January to demand that Lomidze apologize. Some locals in Borjomi speculate that it's really about a personal grudge between Serafime and Father Jeromieli, and that Jeromieli is behind the whole thing. This is a very interesting story, because first of all, the Georgian Orthodox Church is wildly corrupt, as everyone knows, and yet there are very few specific stories about that corruption and its specific consequences, results, and what exactly happened. At the same time, few journalists try or are successful in putting those facts in front of the church itself. Great job to Caroline Sutcliffe and the OC Media team for breaking this important story. Let's hope that there are many, many more. Following up on Georgi Tsertsvadze case, the former Georgian soldier who was in Interpol's red list because of a murder charge in Russia was released by Ukrainian authorities after the Kiev city prosecutor canceled his pretrial detention order. According to the statement from the prosecutor's office, they decided to release him because of his involvement in Georgian matters of national security and territorial integrity. So handing him over to Russia could harm Georgia's state interests. Tsertsvadze was put on Interpol's red list by the 23rd of December by Russia, who accused him of having committed a murder in Sochi back in 2003. He was detained by Ukrainian police in January. His lawyer, Ksenia Prokonova, told Rustaviori that the case against him was politically motivated and that Russia wanted to punish him for fighting against Russian soldiers and Russian-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine. He went to Ukraine in 2014 and previously fought against Russia in the 1990s and during the August War in 2008. Prokonova also accused the Georgian government of helping Russia build a case against Serge Tsvangirai, claiming that Russia has information that only the Ministry of Justice and Interior could have provided, as we mentioned last week. Those accusations were echoed by the National Movement, its spinoff, and journalists at Tabula. The National Movement organized a demonstration outside the Interior Ministry on the 24th of January, protesting the government's alleged complicity. The government has denied having anything to do with it and wrote official letters to the Ukrainian government lobbying about Tsvangirai's extradition to Russia. He's out of prison, but the case isn't finished. Extradition proceedings will begin in early February, and the Georgian authorities have vowed to keep working against extradition. Tsvangirai told Rustaviori that he has applied for asylum in Ukraine because he doesn't trust the Georgian authorities anymore. He's afraid they'll send him to Russia if he comes back. He also said the incident has created problems for his family, which lives in Gori. In addition, Mamuka Mamulashvili, commander of the Georgian National Legion, a group of Georgian fighters of which Tsvangirai is a member and who are fighting on the side of the Ukrainian armed forces, gave an ultimatum to the Ukrainian government saying that if they extradite Tsvangirai, the Georgian National Legion will leave the country. Following up on the National Movement split, the group who quit the party last month will officially call their new party the Movement for Freedom European Georgia. So in that weird tradition of calling things by their, in English, by their English acronyms, that's MFEG. Anyway, we'll think of something. I don't know. We'll find out what the name is and figure something out so I don't have to always say Movement for Freedom European Georgia all the time. Anyway, strange. They want to emphasize that they're not just a political party, but a movement, and that Georgia, that Europe is Georgia's final destination. They are dedicated to getting rid of Otsneba and Ivanishvili through peaceful methods. The new party has 20 MPs and makes up two parliamentary factions. Dr. Bakradze, one of the leading members, said that the movement will participate in municipal elections later this year, and they expect to do well. He also said the movement will hold its first party convention this spring, probably in April. Gigi Ugulava will serve as interim general secretary until the convention. Also, due to the split, the National Movement will lose 35 of its 276 members of sacrobulos or local councils. The 35 defectors will join the new party, the Movement for Freedom European Georgia. Following up on the cables cases, President Margvelashvili pardoned five former defense ministry officials who were sentenced to 7 years in prison each for misspending roughly 4.1 million lari in public funds. According to the president's political secretary, Pikria Chikradze, the prosecutor's office failed to properly substantiate the charges against the five ex-officials. The five were arrested on October 2014 for involvement in sham procedures where they allegedly manipulated a public tender for the purchase of fiber optic cables. According to the prosecutor, they manipulated the tender so that it would advantage the private contractor hired to provide the cables with the intention of getting kickbacks in return. They spent 8 months in pretrial detention before being released in June 2015 and returning to those jobs. All five were arrested again in May 2016 and found guilty of that same month. The officials were arrested while Iraklia Alassani was defense minister, and at the time he claimed the arrests were politically motivated and an attack on the country's Euro-Atlantic aspirations. Alassani was dismissed shortly after then-Prime Minister Iraklia Kharabashvili. I looked into the case somewhat, and believe me, they were completely innocent. The sad thing is that they were mainly very young and junior people. This case is a serious indictment of Otsneba's claims that there's no political pressure on courts and the improvements in the judicial system, and also on politicians that they would do this to regular low-level individuals. That they would do this to, you know, regular low-level state employees. The idea must have been to get use them as some sort of an example, as in, look what we can do. Anyway, good on Margvelashvili for pardoning them. In travel to and from Georgia, the Council of Europe Secretary Thorben Jagland was in Tbilisi this week, meeting Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili, Foreign Minister Chanalidze, Parliamentary Chairman Kobakhidze. They discussed human rights situation in Georgia, particularly regarding Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Parliamentary Speaker Kobakhidze is on a working visit to Brussels, where he attended the European Parliament's plenary session on visa-free travel a few hours ago. He also met with the parliamentary chairman and heads of several bodies of parliament. Georgia has new ambassadors to Canada, South Korea, and Kazakhstan. Konstantin Kaftaradze will serve in Canada. He was previously ambassador to Sweden and Finland from 2011 to 15. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze announced that Inguri Hydro Power Plant will temporarily shut down to prepare for major rehabilitation work scheduled for 2018. The Energy Ministry agreed on the shutdown with Chernomorengro, the Abkhaz state-owned energy company. The Inguri plant supplies both Georgia and Abkhazia with electricity. The shutdown will last 3 to 4 weeks, during which time Russia will supply Abkhazia with an extra 200,000 kilowatts of electricity to cover the shortfall, and Georgia will supply another 190 kilowatts. Abkhazia would have faced a complete blackout during the shutdown if Russia and Georgia hadn't stepped up to provide extra electricity. In 2015, Georgia provided Abkhazia with 1.8 billion kilowatts of electricity. Two military helicopters collided in the Democratic Republic of the Congo this week. One of the helicopters had a Georgian crew. According to reports, it made a crash landing after the other helicopter, which had a Belarusian crew, collided with it. All four Georgians are alive and in stable condition. According to reports, the incident happened while the aircraft were pursuing fighters from the Congolese rebel group M23. The Defense Ministry told the media that the crewmen are private contractors. They're not involved with Georgia's UN peacekeeping mission there, which has been ongoing since 2014. Also this week, about 30 Georgian soldiers departing for the Central African Republic to participate in EU-led military training exercises left. They'll serve under the French command. Georgia has contributed to the EU mission in the Central African Republic since 2014. Georgia's special envoy to Russia, Zura Bashidze, responded to a rumor going around Russian media that Georgia is ready to consider reestablishing diplomatic relations with Russia. He said that's false. Georgia isn't ready to restore relations until Russia's occupation of Abkhazia and South Ossetia ends. Police arrested and indicted three people for beating and threatening Georgi Gasviani, a journalist and talk show host in Tbilisi-based Iberia TV, in an incident last December. The detainees include a policeman and two of his friends, whom Gasviani accused of assaulting him on the side of the road near Borjomi. He said the men were clearly drunk, and after he told them he was a journalist, they threatened him at gunpoint not to tell anyone about the incident. The three men were indicted for violence and making threats, punishable by up to 1 year in prison. Samsa Chavachetti's prosecutor's office planned to charge the policeman with abuse of power, a much more serious offense, punishable by up to 8 years in prison, but decided to drop the charge, because they're cops, of course. A massive fire broke out in a department store near Station Square on Monday, spreading around buildings. Fire started at Children's World, which is next to the railway station, the Vauxhall, and the street bazaar. The store mostly housed small vendors and rented space inside and sold a variety of goods. The fire destroyed Children's World and did a lot of damage to nearby shops and warehouses, but fortunately no one was hurt. Deputy Fire Chief David Gelashvili said the fire caused damages in the area of roughly 13,000 square meters. Roughly 1,000 vendors were affected. The property damage hasn't been calculated yet, but media sources report that it will be in the millions of dollars. One vendor claimed to have lost more than 30,000 lari worth of goods. The building is insured by Aldagi, but the insurer said the policy only covers the building itself, not the goods located inside it. The government promised that it will help distressed vendors renegotiate bank loans. Many of them were selling goods they had purchased on loan. The cause of the fire isn't known either. Many vendors suspect arson. Some blame Bidzina and his supporters for deliberately starting the fire. Others blame the building's owners who want to replace it with a bigger, newer shopping mall. Georgians living in Abkhazia are protesting Suchumi's decision to close the border crossing at Nabakhevi and Otobaya. Roughly 200 people demonstrated this week in Nabakhevi, which forms one side of the border crossing with Kurcha. Many people living there use the crossing to go to Zugdidi to attend school, get medical treatment, and buy and sell goods. Right now, the only crossing open to the public is the bridge across the Inguri River, also near Zugdidi, which is out of the way for many people. Mohammed Kilba, secretary of the Abkhaz Security Council, told Sputnik News that the protesters are not Abkhazian citizens, so they have no right to question any policy of the Abkhaz authorities. Aha! A group of ex-defense ministry employees are protesting outside the ministry building this week after mass layoffs left 2,250 people without jobs. The ministry called it part of the optimization process to comply with NATO standards and save 32 million lari from the public budget. Most of the laid-off workers are civilians, but 217 military officers were axed as well. The protesters are demanding they get their jobs back, saying the ministry violated their rights by firing them without notice. One person claimed he only received 179 lari in compensation, and some said they didn't get anything at all. The protesters told the media that they'll keep demonstrating until they get their jobs back. A Georgian citizen was detained in Gali this week. According to his family, Russian soldiers, plural, entered their home and took away the 52-year-old man, demanding a 100,000-ruble ransom in exchange for giving him back. No more details are known. Abkhaz language classes launched in two schools in Batumi. The classes are an initiative of the Ministry of Reconciliation and the Adjara Regional Government. They are 4 hours per week and are available to learners of all ages. According to the 2014 census, native Abkhaz speakers live in Adjara, and authorities hope that promoting the language will help efforts at reconciliation. Last year, the ombudsman called for Abkhaz language teaching in Adjara. Tbilisi is expanding the number of new blue buses operating between the central railway station, the Vokzal, and the airport. 10 new buses began operating on Route 37 this week, which will run 24 hours a day. Roads Department said it will build a new 14-kilometer Batumi bypass road, which will be completed by 2020. The new construction will be financed by the Asian Development Bank and Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. The new bypass road will pass through Mahinjauri, Gandiani, Kapreshumi, Salibauri, Peria, Makvilauri, and Helvachauri. Some families will have to move to make way for the road. The government is currently negotiating a settlement with them. The Environmental Ministry announced that a new fishery in Sachkheri municipality that will preserve an endangered trout species native to Georgia. The fishery will cost about 300,000 lari to build, and it will be financed by a number of companies operating in Georgia's energy sector. Geostat announced a GDP growth at 2.2% in 2016, the lowest figure since 2009, and falling short of the government's final forecast of 2.7%. Year-on-year GDP grew only 0.3% during the month of December. Geostat also published statistics on the consumer basket that it uses to calculate the consumer price index. In 2016, 295 items were in the basket. Food and non-alcoholic beverages made up the largest portion of consumption at 30.1%. Transport was second at 13.1%, and alcohol and tobacco accounted for 6.4% of consumption. Mobile services company Beeline, which is owned by the Russian telecoms company Vimpelcom, submitted a tender this week to provide services to Georgian state agencies. According to news reports, they were the only company to submit a tender. However, as reported by Enterprise News, the National Communications Commission later stated that Beeline can't actually meet the tender conditions because they don't have the ability to provide 3G services across the country. Beeline's director, Georgi Tshelashvili, complained that this wasn't even in the tender and that no telecoms company has the ability to provide such services in Georgia. Some Georgian media sources reported, erroneously, that Beeline's tender had been accepted. It has not. The multinational car rental company Enterprise Holdings, which owns brands such as Enterprise Rent-A-Car, National Rent-A-Car, and Alamo, announced plans to launch operations in Tbilisi and Yerevan. Over the next year, they'll open a location in Zvardnots International Airport in Yerevan and other locations in Armenia and later at Tbilisi International Airport. The cannery GM Group will start producing international fruit juice and fruit purees this summer. They plan to export new products to Sweden, Israel, Japan, and the Netherlands. GM Group was founded in 2011. The cha-cha producer Zaatis recently exported a test batch of cha-cha to Australia. Currently, they export to Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, and Estonia. They're an upper-end brand with prices starting at $45 per bottle in Georgia. The bottles exported to Australia will retail between $160 and $180. That's $80. Wow. National rugby team, the Lelos, unveiled their new jerseys design this week at an event at the Radisson Blue. The home jersey is crimson. The new away jersey is white. According to the Georgian Rugby Association, the crimson color is chosen to reflect wine, an international symbol of Georgia's national culture. Georgia will host the 2017 Junior Eurovision contest, which will take place in November. Georgia has won Junior Eurovision three times since it began participating in 2003. Two Georgian fashion models walked the runway this week at Paris Fashion Week. Anna Shelia wore designs by British fashion house Ralph & Russo, Lebanese designer Ziad Nakad, and Japanese bridal fashion designer Yumi Katsura. Marisha Urushadze wore designs by Russian designer Ulyana Sergenenko, as well as Natalia Vodianova and Dusan Kroes. In parliamentary news, the parliamentary group tasked with proposing new surveillance regulations has proposed creating a new agency under the auspices of the State Security Service. The new agency would have the power to monitor telephone and internet communication and conduct video and audio surveillance. Eka Beselia, corrupt goofball, who is head of the working group and chair of the Parliamentary Legal Issues Committee, presented the proposal, saying the agency would be under the security service, but its independence would be guaranteed, lucky thing, and that its head would be selected by a commission from Parliament, the Ombudsman's Office, the government, and the courts. Yeah. It would also be covered by a multi-level oversight mechanism. Baselia claimed that it would strike a strong balance between civil rights and security and would comply fully with the ruling by the Constitutional Court. A group of NGOs who were involved in the working group slammed the proposal, saying that it disregards the court's ruling and risks unreasonable violations of human rights. The NGOs are part of the This Affects You campaign, which includes the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, the Georgia Young Lawyers Association, a bunch of others. They think the independence and oversight mechanisms are much too weak, and they are right. They don't want the new agency to be under the security service, of course, but rather it should be under the control of some independent agency. But that would be a problem for the government might make it difficult for them to record whoever they want whenever they want, which is what we're all looking for here, right? The meme this week is a photo project on Instagram that superimposes classic film characters and scenes on post-Soviet settings. It's pretty funny and got a lot of likes and whatever on Instagram. Check it out. You'll see some of your favorite characters in strange but familiar settings. Foreign Policy Research Institute, or FPRI, previews the movements and events that will shape the South Caucasus in 2017. For Georgia, the relationship between the ruling party and opposition is the most important. Georgian Dream has a constitutional majority. The opposition is fragmented, especially after the split of the national movement. According to Maya Otarashvili, a research fellow at FPRI, the split will create two strong opposition parties rather than one. Yeah, we'll see. Josh Kusera, the South Caucasus editor, Eurasian editor, is working on a series of pieces about Eurasia and the borders between the two continents. This piece for Slate magazine is about Georgia and its confusing status between Europe and Asia, an article we've all read 40 gazillion times. But read this one. Kusera travels by ferry across the Black Sea from Bulgaria to Batumi, then around Georgia by Marshutka. He meditates on Georgia's history and its relationship with both Europe and Asia, meets a bunch of memorable characters along the way, as one does on Marshutka rides. It's long, but definitely worth the time. Take a look. In a separate piece of Eurasianet, Josh Kusera covers the release of Georgi Tsertsvadze, who's out of prison but still could be extradited to Russia. Kusera is optimistic that he won't be sent to Russia, however, given his importance to the Georgian state interests. Joseph Giorgioliani writes for the Huffington Post about Georgia's foreign policy and the current atmosphere of uncertainty. He considers how the national movement's breakup affects Georgia's ties with the West and his view the less Misha the better when it comes to foreign policy or domestic policy or any other policy. He also assesses Otsneva's balancing act between the West and Russia as mostly positive. Transparency International Georgia publishes its statement on the president's veto of the judicial reform bill passed by the parliament last month. The organization agrees with most of the president's objectives, including the position that the law should define the precise number of judges who can serve in the Supreme Court. Currently, it's decided by the court itself. This is an important issue related to judicial independence. Freedom House publishes its Freedom in the World 2017 report. Georgia is classified as partly free, where it has been for the last several years. The country lost its Freedom House status as an electoral democracy in 2009, but got it back in 2013 following the 2012 parliamentary elections. In this year's report, Georgia gets 3 out of 7 on both political rights and civil liberties, with 1 being the highest and 7 the lowest. Abkhazia is classified as partly free and Ossetia as not free in the same report. Foreign policy covers the renewed Russian assault on Ukrainian government forces near the town of Avdiivka. This week, roughly a dozen Ukrainian soldiers have been killed and civilians evacuated from the area. It's the first major international test for Donald Trump's administration that everybody's ignoring, considering all the other whacked-out stuff that he's doing. The Russian assault started just a day after Trump and Putin spoke over the phone for the first time. A lot more cordial than with the Australians, evidently. They were talking about pretending to form an alliance to defeat Daesh. Pentagon officials told Foreign Policy that they expected Russia to get more aggressive in order to see what Trump will let them get away with. All this stuff is posted on the forum. This week's sidebar number is 82,161, the number of people who immigrated to Georgia in 2014, the last year for which official statistics are available. Largest source country was Russia, which accounted for just under 50,000. By contrast, a larger number, 88,704 people, emigrated from Georgia in 2014. The 8th Annual Burns Supper and Ball will take place on the 4th of February at the function site in the Funicular Complex, starting at 6 p.m. Tickets are $100 each. Organized by the British Georgian Society, author and trade unionist Eric Lee will give a talk about his upcoming book on the Georgian Democratic Republic of 1918-21. It's on the 22nd of February at the Georgian Embassy. Also from the British Georgian Society, the annual Georgian Studies Conference will take place on the 7th of February at Oxford. Conference kicks off at 2 p.m. at the Nissan Lecture Theater. Speakers include Georgia's ambassador to the UK, Tamar Berdichashvili, Giga Zedania, a very, very smart guy, rector at Ilya State, and Professor Margaret McMillan of St. Anthony's College. American Language Center at Tbilisi is offering an intermediate Georgian language class starting on the 6th of February and ending on the 30th of March. It's designed for those students who are already able to write and speak Georgian on a basic level. The class is 32 hours, costs 400 lari. If interested, send an email to ALC, that is alphalimacharlie.tbilisi@gmail.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2013, from Los Angeles, California, this is Dana Dedley with Hello Sunshine.